afternoon, evening, whenever you're listening to this or watching this broadcast. I'm Pastor Ed Woodis, Pastor of Triumph Word Christian Center, and we're here broadcasting live on Facebook. We're so happy that you joined us tonight, and sit back and let's prepare our hearts and our minds to receive God's word. Let a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit come upon you to hear, see, and comprehend what God has for us today. We're so happy you joined us. You can reach out and just let us know on Facebook. Just announce where you're watching from, who you are. Let us know you're online watching us live. I'm not looking at a lot of people, just the technical people, but let us know you're out there and out there watching us as we minister the word of God to you tonight. And so also, we want you to connect with us if you want to at connect@twcc-sa.org, and that's our connection email where you can send us a prayer request or you can send us a question or something that's concerning your heart. You can reach out and reach us, contact us at that connect at twcc-sa.org. Also, you can text us if you prefer to text. You can text us at 210-941-3322. And at the end, we're going to receive our offering for Wednesday night. And, of course, we'll give you an opportunity to be a blessing and sow into the ministry and sow of your financial gifts online, and we'll tell you a little bit more about that later. Well, let's go ahead and pray and get right into the Word of God and share what the Lord has on our hearts to share with you tonight. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you and we praise you and we glorify you for your goodness, your mercy, your faithfulness, your kindness, and your love. We thank you, dear Father God, for giving us this privilege and opportunity to receive from heaven tonight, to receive from your holy written word. We thank you, Father God, for the mighty anointing and power of the Holy Spirit who will teach us the word and unveil the word of God unto our spirits. And we thank you for divinely granted utterance, and we thank you for divine illumination so that our eyes may see, our ears may hear, and our hearts may comprehend and perceive accurately the truths from your word that will transform our lives for the better forever in Jesus' name. Thank you for helping us, Holy Spirit. Thank you for teaching us, Lord, tonight, and we humbly receive tonight in Jesus' name. We give you all the glory, all of the honor and all of the praise for everything that will be said, done in truth in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen out there. Amen, amen. So tonight we're going to continue in our teaching emphasis and focus on the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit. But tonight's subject matter is the Holy Spirit, our guide. Now, if you belong to Triumph Word Christian Center, and you can access it online through our intranet CCB, and you can follow along those outlines from that guide, from the handout and outline notes. And so, if you want to follow along, you can listen to it on our website after the broadcast and after it's loaded up on audio, and you can download the notes with it and go through the message and kind of fill in the blanks and have it for further reference and study. But tonight we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, our guide. So let's pick it up in St. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14. The Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 15 through 17, verse 26 as well in the Amplified Classic Version. And it reads, "If you really love me, you will keep obey my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, standby." Six beautiful and broad attributes of the Holy Spirit. "That he may remain with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, welcome, take into its heart, because it does not see him or know and recognize him. But you know and recognize him, for he lives in you, with you, excuse me, constantly, and will be in you." So the Holy Spirit's with us, he's in us. Verse 26, John chapter 14. But the Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Intercessor, Advocate, Strengthener, Standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf. He will teach you all things. And he will cause you to recall, will remind you of, and bring to your remembrance everything I have told you. Now that's a beautiful, blessed thing. So we talked about that in detail on Sunday, and of course we followed up on the help of the Holy Spirit on Monday. And some of the things we brought out on Monday night, which is you need to watch that video if you haven't already, is the Greek word that this word comforter or helper conveys. This Greek word is the Greek word parakletos. And Dr. William Barclay described the Holy Spirit's work in this way. The function of the Holy Spirit is to fill a man with the spirit of power and courage, which would make him triumphantly cope with life. And boy, do we need that today. And the narrowing of the word comforter has resulted in undue narrowing of the work of the Holy Spirit. So the more the Holy Spirit is not just there to pat you on the back and give you a pillow and a blanket. He is helping you triumphantly cope with the spirit of power and the spirit of courage during arduous, tough, troubling, and distressful times like this. So the Holy Spirit is our advocate. He is also our helper and strengthener. And so we said that the launching pad for the supernatural help and power of the Holy Spirit gives us an indication how it begins in our relationship with the Holy Spirit in 2 Corinthians 13:14. Now let's look at 2 Corinthians 13:14. It says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. So we see some phrases here that are very captivating. And Paul's just not filling in words or giving nice, eloquent closings to his letter to that church. He is giving us intentional directions and directives by the Holy Spirit, inspired by the Holy Spirit to that church. And he's saying the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to extrapolate that on a little bit. And I have my chart up here to kind of reference some of the things we shared on Monday. So this word communion, as you see the chart, this word communion here, it brings out two primary meanings. And those two primary meanings mean two things, partnership and responsibility. Partnership and responsibility. Now, this partnership is like a business partnership. And you remember when Jesus was a child, the Bible says when he was 12 years old, he had disappeared for a few days, and he was teaching in the temple and talking to the doctors of the law and Pharisees and those kinds of things, reasoning with them out of the scriptures and asking questions and answering questions at a young age. And he was very advanced spiritually. And so they finally found him and said, where you been? He said, don't you know I must be about my Father's business? And all of us as children of God have business for the kingdom to do, to execute, to get done on behalf of our Lord. And so the Holy Spirit is a senior business partner to help us get our job for the Lord, on behalf of the kingdom, done in an excellent manner and a productive manner. So we're not just called, friends, to be faithful, but we also called to be fruitful. And that's the business connotation. That means the Holy Spirit will help us produce fruit for the Lord's glory and on behalf of the kingdom. And so he's a good business partner. And, of course, the second word, responsibility, means it conveys the idea of taking responsibility for someone. Taking the responsibility for someone. Now, in the context of the Holy Spirit, this means that just as the Holy Spirit wants to be and become our partner, he also wants to assume a great responsibility for you. A great responsibility for you. Then, in other words, the Holy Spirit wants to be your coach, your helper, your life mate in the things of God to help you navigate through the different seasons and times of life. Now, of course, if you wish, if you want to, you can just sit back and let the Holy Spirit stand by and watch you try to do it all by yourself. And that won't amount to nothing. That's why we said independence and isolation breed selfishness, and they eliminate God and particularly the Holy Spirit from the equation of your life. The Holy Spirit is eliminated when you just want to do everything by yourself and you don't want anybody's help, or you don't want the Holy Spirit to be a partner with you in life. And so independence and isolation are not a good thing. We ought to be dependent and interdependent on the Lord. And we ought to often cry out and call for, help me, Holy Spirit. In other words, you don't know how to get unstuck from a situation that has you stuck. Well, you need a partner. That's the Holy Spirit. And then he will then also take responsibility for you. He said, I'm going to help you with everything I've got at my disposal and in my arsenal. And the Holy Spirit is got all power. He's the same power that raised Christ from the dead. And he can make us look smart and when we're not smart. And so the Holy Spirit has been called alongside. This is his calling. Jesus' calling was to come and do the work of the Father and be our substitute and our sacrifice. The Holy Spirit's calling is called alongside us to help us. That's the word paraclete, paracleton. He's called alongside you to help you, to aid you, to secure you, to be your advocate, your strengthener, your standby, your comforter, your helper. And if you open your heart to the Holy Spirit, if you open your spirit to the Holy Spirit, he will assume a more active role in your life. Now, I want you to get that, friends. I want you to get that, child of God. I want you to get that, people of God. If you open up your spirit to the Holy Spirit, he will take a more active role in your life. And he wants you to know, particularly during this time, that you and I are not alone. And that he will take responsibility for you. The Holy Spirit wants to help you, as we have it displayed on our chart here. He wants to help you do what? He wants to help you pray. He wants to help you witness, be a good witness. In other words, we've been called and anointed by the Holy Spirit to be a witness to the Lord. Well, how can you be a good witness? Now, some people struggle with this on their own. In other words, they get embarrassed and shamed. They don't want to share Christ. They don't want to show Christ to anybody. But the Holy Spirit will empower you with ability, with efficiency, with might to help you and me be a witness anytime, anywhere, and anyhow, that you can always show Christ to others and share Christ boldly and unashamedly to others. Be a good witness for the Lord. And then number three, as we see, gain victories in life. Oh, that's so precious and so important. The Holy Spirit wants to help us gain victory. It could be something that has to do with our health. It could something to do with our emotional well-being and our mental well-being, because we cannot cope with pressure and problems and pain and endure the things that come at everyone in life. Maybe it's a habit or an addiction. The Holy Spirit wants us to help us gain victories over those habits and harmful addictions in life. The Holy Spirit wants to help us with our finances, with our families, with our relationships, with everything that pertains to us. The Holy Spirit is called alongside to help you and me to gain victories, to reinforce the victory of Jesus in our world and in our lives. He wants to step up. The Holy Spirit. He wants to step forward and really help you and me. That's so good. We need to embrace that. We need to take that to heart. The Holy Spirit wants to exercise responsibility for you and me in a supernatural and miraculous way. We don't have part-time help or not very good help. And, you know, sometimes people who work in corporations or businesses and manage employees, they always say, well, people don't want to work and you can't really get no good help. That's usually a big complaint. And they always amplify the flaws and the shortcomings of others. But we don't have a weak, timid, and trashed out helper. We have a divine helper, the third person of the Trinity, the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, who's been called alongside us to help. He's always ready. He's always on. He's always strong. The Holy Spirit is to help us anytime, anywhere. The question is, will we let him? Or will you yield and respond to him? Because remember, the Holy Spirit is a spirit, and he doesn't need sleep. He doesn't take naps. He doesn't have a need of a siesta or to doze off for a minute. He's always on. He's always up, and he's always ready. He's always standing by to help. Everybody say, thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. So let's talk about our core focus tonight, which is the Holy Spirit, our guide. And we're going to John chapter 16. Now, John chapter 14, 15, and 16 are some profound and remarkable chapters of that introduced Jesus' last week. Really, it started around chapter 12, but it basically was the last teachings of Jesus before his way to the cross. And we always use this phrase or understanding, we say the best for last. He wanted them to remember this the most. And there's two dominant themes he talks about repetitively in John chapter 13, John chapter 14, John chapter 15, and John chapter 16. Before he went to the Garden of Gethsemane and began to pray and intercede for the church and for his disciples and the whole world, he said two themes: love and the Holy Spirit. The two major topics that Jesus talked about during his last week on earth was love and the Holy Spirit. And so we hear him picking up, him talking about the Holy Spirit in verse 13 through 15, John chapter 16, verse 13 through 15. He says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth. Now understand this. This is the third or fourth time he said this phrase, the Spirit of truth. He's referring to the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, as the Spirit of truth. In other words, he's telling his disciples, you can trust him. He's not going to lie to you. He's not going to tell you a falsehood. He's not going to lead you astray. He is the Spirit of truth. And he said, when has come, he will guide you. He will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me. He will take what is mine and declare it or disclose it unto you or transfer it or transmit it unto you. And all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said, I said that he will take of mine and will declare it unto you. Now, that's some of the three most outstanding verses in describing the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Because primarily, principally, he's telling us that the Holy Spirit is our guide. Now, let's look at this. And I've got another chart here to show you. The Holy Spirit is our guide. So I want you, if you can, write in your Bible, circle or underline this word guide in there in verse 13. And the word guide is the Greek word hodego. Hodego. So hodego means two things: to show the way, to lead or and guide. And secondly, it refers to a tour guide. I mean, a tour guide isn't somebody who just doesn't know the way or doesn't know the route or doesn't know the landscape of if you're touring over in Europe or touring over in the Middle East or touring even in Jerusalem. You know, a tour guide, a good tour guide, an expert tour guide knows exactly every spot, every route, every building, everything, all the history behind it. He's a great tour guide. So this is what the connotation is. This is what it's conveying to us, that the Holy Spirit is a tour guide. And he's already been to the end of life and the beginning of life, and he knows the plan of God for your life. He knows the route. He knows the way of God. He knows the will of God, the work of God for your life. He's taken you now on an expedition. An expedition is yours as a tour guide, an expert tour guide. So Jesus is telling us that the Spirit of truth is going to guide us into all truth. So the Holy Spirit guides us in two big things. Jesus said, number one, truth. Truth is in the Bible, the Word of God. And then things, number two, things. Things are outside of the Bible that are not specifically spelled out in the scriptures. But the Holy Spirit will be a tour guide, a leader, a guide in two dominant areas of our life. He will guide you into all truth. That means he'll guide you through the Word and lead you to the Word in everything that pertains to things that are in the Word. But then there's things outside of the Word. For example, do I date this person? The Holy Spirit knows who you need to hang around and who you need to go out with if you're a single person. And the Holy Spirit will tell you, do I choose these friends? He knows what kind of character and nature those people are. And he will guide you. He'll tell you, yes, no, not good, that's good. Those things are not in the Bible. But there are things that pertain, important things in our life, because our relationships matter in life. Our money matters in life. Never go shopping, as we say, without the Holy Spirit, because he'll guide you through the shopping aisle, particularly today. Again, let's ask the question, what is truth? John 17:17 says, Jesus is praying his intercessory prayer before he goes to the garden gets captured by the Roman soldiers and gets beaten and hung on the cross. He said, sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. Your word is truth. So the word of God is truth. See, the word of God is the truth of God. So the Holy Spirit will guide you through the word and to the word. He'll reveal to you, what does the Word say? What does the Scripture say? You don't have to have supernatural recall. The Holy Spirit authored the book. He breathed and inspired 40 men to write the Holy Canon of Scripture. And he knows every word, every phrase, every clause. And he'll tell you the truth and confirm it in your heart and mind by the Word that has been written. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 4:21 says it this way, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. The truth is in Jesus. Now, the Amplified says, assuming that you have really heard him and began being been taught by him, as all truth is in Jesus. So we often said the gospel of Christ and Jesus Christ is the epitome of truth. It begins and ends. That's why he said in Revelations, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. So you have to start with Jesus to start in truth, and you end with Jesus to end in truth. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. The truth, not a truth, the truth, and the life. He's the way, so you'll never be lost. He's the truth, so you'll never be deceived. He's the life, so you'll never die. Spiritual death. He said, no one comes to the Father but through me. You got to go. How do you get to God? Through the truth. By way of the truth, there's not many ways. There is one way to the Father, and that's through Jesus, the truth. So the bottom line is this. The Word of God is truth. The living Word, Jesus our Lord, is the embodiment of the truth. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. So the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. In other words, you can trust the Holy Spirit to be your guide and guide us and lead us into all truth, and not just lead us into lies, misinformation, fake news. Oops, I didn't mean to show you that or tell you that. No, he's not going to lie to us. He's not going to deceive us. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Now, what are things? Things are the specifics of anything. Like we said, truth is in the Word of God. Truth is in the Bible. Things are outside of the Bible. So specifics of anything, everything, and all things that are not necessarily spelled out or detailed, per se, in the Word of God. Anything big, small, significant, or seemingly insignificant, difficult, diseased, disformed, dysfunctional, or destructive. The Holy Spirit will guide you and lead you in all things, all things. Now, can you imagine all things? What are all things? All things. Anything, everything. Now, in the book of Romans, chapter 8, the Holy Spirit is mentioned 22 times. 22 times. 22 times. And so this is what the subject of. Therefore, the Holy Spirit is the subject of this chapter. It's about the Spirit, the life of the Spirit, and the laws of the Spirit. And the word Holy Spirit, in the Spirit, is mentioned 22 times. But the phrase all things is mentioned three times. Three times. Now, Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says, and we know all things, everybody say all things, work together for the good that those who love God and those who are the called according to his purpose. Now, this comes after the backdrop of the Holy Spirit helping us to pray and making intercession for us according to the will of God. And then the result of that, all things will work together for our good. All things. You could have a mess in your marriage. You could have a mess in your house. You can have a really messy financial situation and predicament. But the Holy Spirit, through the Word, will help us work. Come to a place where all things will work together for our good, because we love God and we are called according to his purpose. Romans 8:31 says, but what shall we say to these things? What things? Bad things that happen to us. If God be for us, who can be against us? Who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all? How shall we not with him also freely give us all things? All things. All things. Romans 8:37 says, yet in all these things. Now, it's prefaced by pestilence and famine and nakedness and sword. That means things that hurt you, things that harm you, things that come against you, pestilence could be included in this whole situation of pandemic that we're in. All things, he said, nay, in all these things, in the midst of all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Everybody say, I'm more than a conqueror. In all these things, that means an overwhelming, supreme victor. That means you win, but you win big. You win large. You overcome in grand style. Because in all these things, you and I are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, who loves us. So the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth and show us things to come. He knows what's around the corner. He knows what's going on tomorrow, next week, and the time after. The Holy Spirit leads us in and through all things. Now let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 14. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So the word led here is the Greek word ago. A-G-O, which means two things, an athletic term referring to someone wrestling in a sport, athletically. And number two, it means an agricultural term, which means refers to leading an animal like a cow by a rope. So how does the Holy Spirit lead us? Now this scripture in the original Greek is more prefaced with the Holy Spirit at the front part of it, because it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit. So it says the Holy Spirit is leading us who are the sons of God. In other words, if we're open ourselves, yield ourselves, give ourselves to the leadership of the Holy Spirit, he will lead us and guide us. But we have a choice to either be led or not. As a matter of fact, that's the answer to 1,001 questions. Be led by the Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit say? He always has something, but he's a gentleman. He's not going to lead if you're leading your own life. But if you let him lead, he'll tell you and guide you and lead you in the right way. So how does he lead us? Number one, mainly through our spirit, our inner man. Now, 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to notice three things. These are three different Greek words for our threefold, describing our threefold or three-part nature as a man or woman. Spirit, soul, and body. I want you to notice another thing, how they're ordered. The law of first mention here. The first mention means first precedence or priority. He mentions the spirit first, the soul next, and body third. So we often say, you are a spirit, you possess a soul, and then you live in a physical body. That's the priority. That's the proper order of God for your threefold nature. Your spirit man is supposed to be at the ascendancy, at the preeminence, at the priority position in your life. Then your soul, which makes up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. And then your body. Three different Greek words. Pneuma for spirit, psuche or psyche, or you might want to say in the Greek, for soul, and soma for body. So you're not just a human being, you are a spirit being, principally and primarily. You are an eternal spirit being. You are a spirit. You don't just have a spirit, you are a spirit. The real you is your spirit. That's the eternal part of you. Recreated in Christ Jesus, made in the image and likeness of God. We need to become more spirit conscious than soul and body conscious. That's where we get things out of order, and they're dysfunctional in our lives. 1 Peter 3:4 says, rather let it be the hidden person of the heart. So he tells us where the Spirit is, the hidden person of our heart. We don't see the Spirit, but it's hidden in our inside of us. With the uncorruptible beauty, with a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet our inward man is being renewed day by day. So we see from these scriptures, we can ascertain that our spirit is the hidden person, and it is the inward man. So we have to be more conscious or more cognizant of our spirit than we do are of our soul or body. And like one minister said, sometimes we educate our head at the expense of our heart. We have to educate our heart, spiritually educate our heart, first and primarily. You are a spirit. You possess a soul, mind, will, and emotion. You live in a physical body. So let's not be overly body conscious and soul conscious or mind conscious, but spirit conscious. Because that's where the Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us. See, we also see that through our flesh, though our flesh is decaying and getting older, our newborn, recreated human spirit is being renewed day by day. It's like a refresh, a fresh reset or reboot of our real man. So you don't age spiritually. You don't decay and rotten and ruin and worsen spiritually. It's renewed. It's rebooted. It's refreshed. It's renewed day by day. In other words, this word renew means to make new and to be changed into a new kind of life as opposed to the former corrupt state. As we often say, there every day is a new day in Christ. See, God will guide us. He will enlighten us through our spirit. So you need to be aware of what's going on in on the inside much more than what's going on the outside. Listen to your heart. Listen to your spirit. Proverbs 20:27 says, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inward parts and depths of his heart. The Passion Translation says, the spirit of God breathed into man like a living lamp, a shining light searching into the innermost chamber of our being. That's where God will bring enlightenment, illumination, revelation, spiritual information comes not to your head, but to your heart first. Romans 8:14 tells us, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now listen to this in the Passion Translation. The mature children of God are those who are being moved by the impulses of the Holy Spirit. Where these impulses come, they're coming to your spirit, not to your head. And some people say, well, I feel like. No, the Holy Spirit's not coming through your feelings. Now, sometimes you can feel the Holy Spirit, but he's just not feelings and goosebumps. He comes to give impulses and leadings and promptings to your heart, to your spirit. Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. There's a bearing of witness. Where? With our spirit. He doesn't bear witness with your ears or your hands or your knee bone or your mind. He bears witness with your spirit. The inward witness. And so it says in the Passion Translation, for the Holy Spirit makes God's fatherhood real to us as he whispers into our innermost being, you are God's beloved child. Friends, as a as children of God, we can expect to be led by the Spirit of God. How does he lead us? Through your spirit. Well, how does that occur? Well, we're going to talk about that in just a second. But many times, however, people seek guidance and means from other ways than what God said. And when we do, we get into trouble. Because sometimes we judge how God is leading by physical senses and what they tell us. Circumstantially, this is what it looks like. It looks hopeless. It looks helpless. And so we don't check inside and check in with the Holy Spirit. We just look at the external order of things. They said, they did, they threatened, this is happening. The bill came in and said this. Now, what does the Holy Spirit say? What does the Spirit say inside of you? He'll guide you into all truth. Even if you're in a deep, dark ditch, he'll jump in the ditch with you and begin to lead you, begin to help you, begin to guide you. But nowhere does God say that he will guide us through our physical senses in the Bible. You can't fight in the Bible. Nowhere do we look at things from a natural mental standpoint and endeavor to reason things out. You can't think through everything intellectually and logically because God's not a mind. He has a mind, but he's not a mind. He is a spirit. The Holy Spirit is the spirit. So how does the Holy Spirit lead and guide us through our spirit? I'm going to give you three ways real quick, and we'll close. And thank you so much for checking in. But this is so important. In these days, every Christian, every child of God needs to be intentionally and inspirationally led by the Holy Spirit. Number one, the inward witness. You can say it with me, the inward witness. Romans 8:16 tells us again, 8:16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You will find that being led by the inward witness is the number one way or the primary way God will lead all of his children. And so when you wean your child off of you, parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, you wean them onto the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. You wean them onto the Holy Spirit because they need to listen to and understand the inward witness inside of them. As they're led to the Lord to give their life to Jesus, to come into a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, they need to be quickly connected to the Holy Spirit to say, son, daughter, grandson, granddaughter, you need to hear the Holy Spirit inside of you, and you need to check your heart and listen to your heart, your spirit, because that's the primary way. How does that look like? Well, it's sometimes it's a green light in your spirit. It's peace down in your heart, witnessing to you that this is okay. This is the way. Or it's like a stoplight or a red light, stop sign. It's saying, no, alarm going off. No. I don't sense peace down in my spirit about that. One minister said, when the Holy Spirit's not leading that direction, you'll sense, not feel, hear me clearly now, you will sense down in your spirit like you're washing your feet with your socks on. It doesn't feel right. When you sense down in your spirit that everything's good and this is of God, you'll have that warm and even velvety sensation down in your spirit. You need to become sensitive to your spirit because the witness is coming to your spirit. But if you're dense spiritually, you're spiritually got dull ears and earwax, so to speak, you won't be able to hear and be sensitive to the promptings and the witnessings of the work of the Holy Spirit in your spirit. You don't need to mute out or muzzle the Holy Spirit when he's trying to witness to your heart. No. That's the primary way. And everyone needs to get real good and real competent in understanding the inward witness. Number two is the inward voice. Romans chapter 9, verse 1, Paul is saying, by the Spirit, I tell you the truth in Christ, I am not lying, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. See, the number one way, again, the Spirit guides us is through the inward witness. Number two is by the inward voice. See, the inner man, who is a spirit man, has a voice. Just as the outward man has a voice. We call the voice of the inner man your conscience. We say the voice of your body is feelings and sensations. The voice of your soul is reasoning. But the voice of your spirit is your conscience. And you've heard the phrase, let your conscience be your God. That talking about the spiritual function of your newborn, recreated human spirit. Your conscience should be clear. Your conscience should be void of offense, the scripture says. Your conscience toward God needs to be a clear pathway. So your voice of your spirit is not impaired or injured or dysfunctional. Your conscience needs to be working. Condemnation cripples your conscience. It's hard for you to hear clearly. When you get off in sin, sometimes your conscience gets dull and dark and you can't hear. You got to allow your conscience to be your God, a sensitive God. So it's, in other words, your spirit talking and giving voice to you. And so your spirit has a voice. Your spirit will speak to you. Just like we talked about before, your spiritual language or your spiritual prayer language is praying in a heavenly language, the other tongues. And of course, your natural language may be English, Spanish, French, or whatever your natural language. But your spirit has a voice. And it talks to you through the voice of your conscience. That's where your conviction comes in. When you sin, it's your conscience gets smitten. Or gets convicted. If it's not seared or calloused over by repetitive rebellion and disobedience. You just need to repent if that happens. Number three. This is good stuff, folks. This will save us thousands and millions of dollars if we listen and be led by the Holy Spirit. Thousands of hours of therapy and repetitive mistakes if we be just led by the Spirit. Now, number three, the voice of the Holy Spirit. Now listen to this example in Acts chapter 10, verse 19. While Peter thought about these vision, the Spirit said to him. Everybody say it with me. The Spirit said to him. The Spirit said to him. Who's talking? The Holy Spirit. Behold, three men are seeking you. So that got Peter's attention. See, Peter, God leads by what we call the still small voice, but he also leads us with the voice of the Spirit of God speaking to us. The still small voice is like our spirit talking to us. That's our spirit talking to us. The voice of the Holy Spirit is more authoritative. It's more, has more volume and veracity and vim and vigor. It is more astounding and remarkable in our heart in life. We'll often sometimes look around and say, did somebody say something to me? Well, the Spirit is talking to us. And again, number one is we is by the inward witness. Number two is by the inward still small voice of our spirit. And number three is the more authoritative voice of the Holy Spirit. That's only happened to me three times in my life. I've been a Christian over 30 years, born again believer, filled with the Holy Spirit over 30 years, and there were three times that I remember the Holy Spirit used the authoritative voice with me. I looked around and see who was talking. I looked to my side and said who was talking, but the Holy Spirit was telling me to do something or he was warning me of something, and he wanted to get my attention so dramatically, and he did. And I still remember him today as it was yesterday. The Holy Spirit speaking loud and authoritative and life-changing and transformational words to my life that changed the course of my trajectory. in a good way. So, friends, as we close tonight, we must listen to our heart or our spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is guiding and leading us all the time. See, the Holy Spirit is never off of his job. You can't find him unemployed. We can find ourselves not listening and not hearing him guide us or lead us. So let the Holy Spirit be your guide. And so let's pray this prayer. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, just say this out loud after me. Say, Heavenly Father, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I repent of sin. I renounce Satan. I come wholeheartedly back to you, God. I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and my personal Savior. I believe that Jesus died for my sins, God raised him from the dead, and that he's alive forevermore, and that he is Lord. And I declare him as Lord and Savior over my life. Thank you, Father, for saving me. Thank you, Father, for setting me free. Father, now I ask for the Holy Spirit to come into me and fill me to overflowing. And I receive the Holy Spirit right now in my life and in my heart. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for filling me with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Now, all the Christians say this with me. Say, Father God, I thank you for the help of the Holy Spirit, but I thank you for the guidance of the Holy Spirit, that he is leading me and guiding me all the time. The Holy Spirit is helping me 24/7, 365, guiding me into all truth, showing me things to come, and leading me by his Spirit every day and in every way. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for helping me, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Well, if this message blessed you and benefited you, I believe it has, and you can share it. Please share it. Please make comments. Tell us where you're coming from. You can text us again, like I said. You can text us. Let us know what's going on in your life. Give us testimonies, 210-941-3322. You can send us a prayer request through that way as well, or you can email us at connect@twcc-sa.org. Or if you want to partner with us and get involved in what God is doing here at Triumph Word, there's an opportunity to give. You can text your giving. That's great technology. You can just put your dollar amount in that little bottom where you put your words. Text the dollar amount and text it to this number, 210-941-1605. And it'll follow the prompts if it's the first time, and it'll help you kind of set up your giving deal there. And we'll be so thankful to receive your generous donations or love offerings in that regard to help us continue to preach the gospel all around the world and through Facebook and through the internet and to our online community. And you can give also if you just want to go to our website at twcc.org/give. And, you know, as you receive spiritual things, it's good to respond with natural things like money and giving. So be a blessing to the kingdom, and God will be a big, big blessing back to you. Thank you so much for listening and watching. Thank you so much for your generous gifts of love. And send us your notes and send us your prayer requests. And God bless you. We love you. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.